Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real. While you listen to this podcast and think about the topics we'll explore, remember that the areas you're moving into are always most important. Always prepare for what you're about to do, and always know what's happening while you're doing it. That's how you move to protect others and yourself. Now, from headquarters, here's our host, Jason Francis.
Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real. Who do we have with us today, Travis?
Today we have Amanda Gronsky from our safety group. How you doing, Amanda?
Doing well, thank you.
So when did you start here at Rail?
I've been here just over 18 years now.
So a little while back.
What did
you do before?
Retail.
We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She's been here even longer than I have. It's hard to believe, but
Longer than both of us. Almost like combined.
Yep, mostly safety. Did start in maintenance, though.
Yeah. What drew you into safety?
Well, my position in maintenance was no longer needed, so I had my option of going to customer service or going to the safety department.
And you liked it, obviously. You're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
And you're doing good and here to provide us with some good information about the proof of delivery. That's what we're going to talk about.
Right.
So, Amanda, explain the importance of a proof of delivery for every load for every driver out there.
So our proof of delivery is the proof that you actually delivered the load. So there's multiple things we need in order for the paperwork you received to be proof of delivery. Every bill of lading you sign, that's a contract with our customers. So we need to make sure that everything is done appropriately. So the shipper's happy, they know that their load shipped, and the receiver's happy, they got their product.
Yeah, and if there's any questions that come up, we can go back to that.
Exactly. And for drivers, if they ever have any questions in that process, you know, something doesn't seem right at pickup, something doesn't seem right at delivery, call into the cargo department. We're here to help.
And speaking of how to do it right and everything,
mm-hmm.
Let's set up a situation where we've got one of each of our trailers,
mm-hmm.
flatbed, curtain side, van, refrigerated, all going to the same spot to pick up different stuff for each one.
Okay.
Walk me through what each of them has to do.
Sure. So your reefers and your vans are going to be very similar, right? Because they're both enclosed trailers. Sometimes you might be picking up a live load. Sometimes it might be a preload. If you're picking up a live load, you definitely want to check out those bills right away. Make sure a lot of them will indicate who's responsible for counting that load. Is it marked that the shipper loaded and the shipper counted, or is it marked shipper load, driver count? Now, driver count can also have multiple factors. Sometimes they'll mark them driver count by pallet, and sometimes they'll mark driver count by piece. So if you have a driver count by piece, the pallets have to be unwrapped. So driver has to be able to physically move each box to be able to count it. If they're already wrapped up and saying, driver, you're responsible for a piece count, that's an immediate stop. Call into your fleet manager or call into the cargo department because you can't actually count pieces if they're already wrapped up to a skid. So then we'll interject with the shipper for you and say, hey, we need to get this adjusted. This should be a pallet count, not a piece count. Most of your loads should never be a piece count. They're actually usually wrapped up on skids. So it's very, very unusual to actually have a driver count by pieces. But yeah, let us help you with that. Let us get that corrected. So if it is a driver count, you need to be on the dock, count those pallets, and watch them load them into the trailer so that everything that you counted, you can officially say, yes, it was loaded on the trailer. If it's a preload, then about the most you can do is to be checking the back of the load, make sure everything that you can see is properly wrapped up and secured for transit. And then again, on those live loads too, you also want to be checking for damages mixed in with that freight. So if you're seeing any damage cases, you can point them out to the shipper, ask them if they want to change them out, or if you should just note on the bills that they're damaged. So if you're seeing damages, you want to kind of keep a tally of how many you see. to be able to write that on the bills. And if you need help with making the notations on the bills, again, call into the cargo department. We will help you with what to write on those bills.
And have the customer sign that pickup person?
Yep. So if you're seeing damages, the customer should be notified that of each piece that you're seeing. Even if it's a preload and you can only see the back of the trailer, you want to still bring somebody out and say, hey, I see a couple damaged cases here on the back. We need to get that noted on the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's sealed, the trailer?
If the trailer's sealed, there's not much you can do. You want to check that seal. Whether you're preload or live load, you should be checking that seal to make sure that the seal number the shipper gave you matches what's on your bills. If it's not pre-printed on the bills, make sure you write it on all copies of your bills. And if the shipper is not going to provide you a seal, then you need to make sure you're installing a rail seal. And again, writing that seal number on every copy of the bill of lading.
And if there's a customer applied seal, you do that little tug test, make sure it's on there good and secure?
Correct. You can do a light tug test, make sure that it's properly sealed. We do have a couple customers that have been having issues actually with some seals that are not the best quality and have been breaking. So just a light tug test.
And just to be clear, every load should have a seal on it, regardless of whether the customer puts one on there or not.
Yes. Van or reefer, every load should have a seal on it.
In and out times for the?
Yep. That's very important to payroll, to making sure that you're getting paid correctly in case you have, detention at a shipper or the receiver. So,
what's different on the flatbed and the curtain side?
Curtain side, yep. Specialized, anything that's an open deck trailer where you can actually see the freight, you should be counting the freight. So if it's bundles of lumber and they say you have 16, make sure you have 16 bundles of lumber. It's various things, but you should be able to count by bundles or pieces depending what your material is. Obviously, we haul a wide variety of materials on those other trailers, but do your best to do a piece count on those. Even if it's already, preloaded and tarped, you can still kind of lift those tarps up and try to do a pallet count on that material. If it's pouring rain, crazy snow, something like that, okay, we might not want to do that. We don't want to ever jeopardize a customer's load by possibly getting it wet. But for the 9 times out of 10, you should be doing a full piece count just to make sure that you actually have all your freight, because it is actually quite common for receivers to forget bundles. We find it quite a bit where we've gotten to the receiver and something's missing and they say, well, we put it on your trailer. So then we're trying to go back and compare your securement photos to what was delivered, which can be difficult once you're offloaded. So, and then for all divisions, when you get your actual bills, you should also be comparing your bills to your workflow. So your workflow says, I'm picking up at shipper XYZ and I'm delivering to ABC, those things should match. So your shipper should match what's on the bills, should match what's in the workflow. Same thing with the receiver, should match what's on the bills, what's in the, on the workflow. If those don't, you need to call in right away to your fleet manager or customer service. Trailer numbers are usually also on the bills. So that would be the first thing I'd always check. If something doesn't look right, oh, did I grab the right trailer? Customers sometimes will mix up your, you give them a load appointment number or whatever reference number, but sometimes they still give you the wrong paperwork. So it could just be that they gave you the wrong set of papers. And you might be able to just take them back in and say, hey, this doesn't match. I was told I'm picking up trailer, this, and I just realized these bills say something else. Sometimes that's an easy fix. Sometimes actually customer service might have to get involved and say, hey, we thought we were making, this pickup and this delivery with this load, but that's not what your bills are indicating. It's always better to catch those kind of errors on the front side than to find out you delivered to Missouri and it was supposed to be in Iowa, So call in. Anytime you think there's something wrong, call into the cargo department. We're like I said, here to help. So,
what else at that pickup for all those different trailers? What else is going on? Or is that pretty much it?
Yeah, we could move on to what we're looking at then at delivery.
Yeah.
So at delivery, everybody should be inspecting your bills to make sure that what the receiver is saying they received is what the bills indicated was shipped. Vans, reefers, you're usually going to have a piece count or a pallet count or both. So you should be making sure that the receiver signed for the same number of pieces or the same number of pallets. We're finding more and more often, especially with shortages, receivers are like, yeah, here's your paperwork, you're good to go. They don't even tell you that there was something missing. So you want to inspect those bills and make sure the piece count matched. And if it doesn't, start asking questions. Hey, the bill said I had 500 pieces and you said you only got 400.
Are they coming back at us later with these things?
Absolutely. So that's why we want to make sure that these are correct, and make them, you know, explain themselves so that you can then call into the cargo department and say, okay, this is what it is. This is what they're telling me. Because if there is a shortage, they should actually be giving you details with product numbers, descriptions of what it is that's missing or what it is that's damaged. So, and the other thing is then to inspect your trailer, make sure it's actually empty. That's another problem with misshipped material. They should be writing on the bills what it is that was misshipped, how many pieces, what the description of the item is, and that it's not something they ordered. But so many times drivers will just, oh, I got my bills, they look good, hop in the truck, go. They get down the road to the next shipper and, well, wait a minute, I got a pallet in my trailer still. So make sure that you're checking those bills and checking out your trailer. Make sure that you are actually empty before you leave that receiver and before you put in your empty message. Because if there is something in your truck that we need to deal with, then we want the workflow still open, because that makes it easier for customer service and your fleet manager to get extra stops added on if we have to take material to an LTL carrier or a food bank. Those are, you know, so we can add that extra stop.
I want to reiterate that in case anybody missed it. Do not close out your workflow until you talk to claims and have everything settled, because it makes a ton of headaches for everybody involved.
Right. Maybe sweep out the trailer, make sure everything looks good, then close out that workflow.
And you should be doing that. You know, you should be making sure that your trailer swept out and clean before
you go on. Or sprayed out with water if it's a reefer, right?
If it's a reefer and it's dirty, yep. You know, if you've got any, you know, chicken leftovers hanging out in your trailer or anything else, you want that clean for the next shipper, because we don't want any cross-contamination, because that can also lead to claims.
Well, spraying a trailer with water, they wouldn't be able to do that at the drop-off location, would they? They'd have to go somewhere?
Yeah, typically you have to go either to a terminal or you can contact maintenance support to get a trailer washout.
But still evaluate the trailer situation at the drop-off location to make sure everything's out and what you got to do next, right?
Yes,
before exactly. The next pickup.
Exactly, to make sure that you are, in fact, empty. Obviously, with your open deck trailers, you can tell if you're empty. If there's a problem, they're much more likely to mention it to you. You know, hey, this isn't what I ordered. It's the wrong size. You know, whatever that is, you're going to know there's something still on your trailer. But again, start taking pictures. That's a big thing in cargo. They say pictures speak 1,000 words. So start taking pictures of any rejected freight right away and your bills, because 9 out of 10 customers are going to ask us for a copy of those bills as well as pictures of what is rejected.
If a driver's looking at the freight when they pick it up, really good. Mm-hmm. If they can, if it's not sealed, they should catch that stuff.
Yep. So it should be caught at the pickup. Forklift, I would say that's probably the biggest thing we see is forklift damage. You know, they either rub the cases against the wall of the trailer, tear something open, go in too high with a forklift, stab boxes.
And we shouldn't be held accountable for those kind of things, right? Because we're not driving the forklifts, right?
Exactly. Rail. But that's why we need to make sure that we have everything properly documented.
Yeah,
then
pictures
on our side.
Showing that it was that.
Exactly.
Really show that damage with some pictures.
Yep. Yep. And that's most of your customers absolutely require those now. So, and same thing for flatbed, curtain side, specialized, any damages you're seeing, get pictures of them. If you're seeing damage at pickup, you know, you're picking up a load of steel and it looks rusty already. Okay. Do the bills say it's rusty? Does it indicate it's seconds? If it doesn't, then you should be calling into the cargo department, because we will help you make a notation on the bills right away and send us photos, which any of those photos you send in under load securement or to the cargo department are time stamped. So we've got proof that, hey, I can show he was at the shipper and this is the condition of the load at that time.
The consignor, the shipper, would then sign by any notations added, right?
We always ask them to. We are finding a lot of customers that are refusing to sign and refusing to make notations. So a common thing we're having to write is, you know, what the damage is, shipper refused to sign, pictures sent to rail, and then have the driver sign and date it. But worst case scenario, then we've got it documented that you did report it and you sent pictures to the company.
And this stuff helps protect our profit sharing, so we get a nice profit share.
Exactly. Every claim that we do have to pay out because of mistakes or things that we don't cover, that comes right off Rick Rail's bottom line, and that affects our profit sharing in the long run, how much he can afford to pay to the rest of us.
Right. Yeah. And those bonuses, those profit sharing bonuses on top of, you know, our earnings.
Right.
It's nice.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Keep that up. And yeah. Now back to the drop off. Made sure the amounts were all good. Everything's good. Everything's unloaded. In and out times, right? Same thing there.
Try to get them to put that date in. And if they won't, you could even put the date underneath the receiver's signature. It just helps us to have another confirmation point of when something was actually delivered, in case somebody would come back and say, well, I never got that, or that person, their name, that person doesn't work for my company. It's just another thing we can go back on and say, well, it was dated this date.
You signature.
Know, exactly.
Got it in out times, all this stuff.
Yep. So
the drop-off date and the signature.
Yes, exactly. That's our proof that you made it to the right location and that the receiver was happy with what we delivered.
And seal, if it's a reefer or van,
if it's a reefer or van, seal intact every time.
And have that receiver sign there, right?
Yep. And you always want to do that before you even break the seal. You know, check in with that receiver, find out what your unloading process is going to look like, and ask them, do you want to come out and break my seal, or do you want me to break the seal? Either way, try to get them to sign right away, seal intact, and put their signature next to that statement. Now, a lot of places are going to refuse to do that. They're going to tell you, no, just cut it off, throw it in the back of the trailer, or cut it off and bring it into the office with your paperwork. Fine, but you need to make that notation on your bills then before you break it, seal intact, and then put your signature next to that statement. I know there's been some misunderstanding of when that seal intact notation is supposed to be made. It should only be made at the delivery point. We don't need to know it was intact at the shipper, and we don't need to know it was intact at the relay. If there's a problem at the relay and it's not there, call into cargo right away and we'll help. But the actual seal intact notation should only be made at the delivery point. Now there's also multiple other ways. Some customers will give you receiving paperwork. Like provides you with that gate sticker. It has your seal number on it.
Or stamp, right?
Specifically as a sticker. And the seal number should be on there. Now, if you get that sticker and the guard has noted NA in the seal column, question that right away. Wait a minute, I got a seal on my trailer. Why'd you write NA? Because I've seen that with some of them.
We want to be specific.
We want to be specific. It should have your correct seal number. The seal number that's on your bill of lading should match that sticker. Some other companies put stamps on the bill. And there's a line on a lot of those stamps that says seal number and then intact Y or N. It should be filled out and the Y should be circled. And then at the bottom of those stamps usually is a place for that receiver's signature. Some of those stamps don't have a seal information. So it's your job to be watching those. You know, make sure, did that get verified? No, it didn't. I need to ask.
And then it's unload. Make sure everything that they expect is there.
Correct.
And confirm that everything they expect is there, because they may not say anything, right?
Yep.
And then they'll come back at us later and not
good. So double checking those piece counts. Looking at those stamps, some of those stamps have little lines that'll say O, S, D, and R, meaning over, short, damaged, and rejected. If there are numbers in any one of those columns, you need to start asking more questions. Where's the information on what was short or what was damaged?
Or call in and get supportive.
Yep.
It's just
yep, and we'll definitely walk you through the information and the questions to ask.
Yeah. Anything else?
I know I learned something today. I did not know that there was a place for a seal number on the sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I've delivered hundreds of them and never knew that. It's a little embarrassing, actually, to be honest.
You must have been putting it in the designated place on the bill of lading.
Well, yeah, it's on the bill of lading, and I circle it and write seal intact on there, but I did not know it was on that sticker as well. Yeah.
They're probably both valid, right?
Absolutely. We would rather have it on there twice. I would rather have a driver write seal intact and we have a stamp with seal intact than to not have either at all. Mm.
So after drivers have all the information that they need on the hard copies of the bills of lading, what happens next?
Well, definitely verifying a signature. And then also scanning in every single page of your bill of lading, the packing list, receiving reports. There's a lot more companies now that instead of signing your bills, they're giving back their own report with signatures and acknowledgement of the POs and line-by-line items. So if you get those back, scan them in. They are very important to us. And a lot of companies that are looking to get paperwork are looking for those reports instead of an actual signature on the bill. So just make sure you scan it all in right away. We are asking, I think, that they hold on to bills now for 45 days, just in case there's a question or a problem. If you can hang on to them longer than that, that's great. Customers have up to 9 months at the minimum to file claims on us. Some customers have extended it even up to a year. So if you can keep them for a year at home in some kind of a file system, great. But at least 45 days to make sure that you're properly paid and the customer has received the paperwork and they haven't asked us any questions.
Yeah, and protect our profits.
Yep.
We share.
I have some of those papers from like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in a file box under my bunk in the truck when I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take that file box and put it at home because I couldn't remember which ones I needed and which ones I didn't. And they're still in my basement. So,
yep. Nice. But, I mean, it works. And if questions would ever come up, you know, you would have been able to say, yeah, I've got that paperwork. I just need to get home and find it.
Now, Jason, the MyRail app, did you use that to submit paperwork, right?
I did.
What do you think?
I think that it is very convenient. In the ancient days, we used to have to mail it in.
Or Trip Pack
or whatever it was back in the day. I don't remember.
Or find a scanner, right?
Yeah, they had the ones in the truck stop there. But when I came here, they were transitioning to the app. Mm-hmm. Funny story, really. I'm very technologically challenged, right? They came out. They gave us that announcement on the PC saying, you know, the app is open for doing the paperwork. And I was like, I was sitting there doing nothing. So I went ahead and did it right then. And I sent it in. Like 2 minutes later, I get a phone call. So what do you think of the app? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why are you calling me? You're the first person to send in paperwork.
That's like some historical stuff
just,
right there.
It was just funny because I'm so technologically challenged. And apparently I was the first one to try it out. I don't know.
That's the great. First one to use the MyRail app to send in paperwork.
And trust me, if I can do it, anybody can. So
Just go to the app and take a picture, right, in the right place. Picture,
pretty much,
boom,
yeah.
Send.
You go under scan, load documents, and then you click on the order number, and then you do your trip sheet and then send in the pictures. Yep.
Yep, easy. So much easier than having to find a mailbox, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
Now, another thing, another good practice that I hear is circle some of those important data points on the bill of lading, right?
Yeah, payroll definitely appreciates that a lot. If you can circle names, the name and the date, and say, hey, here's the, you know, POD, right? POD right next to it. And then circle your in and out times and actually write, you know, either shipper in and out, you know, and then consignee in and out so that they're not questioning you know, which times are which, you know, which one was supposed to be the receiver, which one was supposed to be the shipper. Circle them, just call them right out for
separate them.
Yep.
Organize it nicely. And
makes their job a lot easier if they can just scan through them and everything's called out to them, you know, that they're looking for. So they can process through your payroll and get you paid faster.
And that, I was going to say, that eliminates that delay on your paycheck when the payroll does not see the proof of delivery. They send your fleet manager a message for them to track it down. Mm-hmm. And by the time they notice that and send it to your fleet manager, that trip is probably not going to be on this week's paycheck.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to call out that receiver signature as well, because that I know is an immediate stop for payroll if they don't see that signature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bills honestly are getting longer and longer. Everything used to be one page, and it's not anymore. So making sure that you're scanning in that every page, that's why that's important, because, you know, you may have a lot of bill detail on page one, but the signature might be on page two.
Yep.
Yeah. And then another important piece, too, is to making sure that you're not covering up important data. You know, that gives you that sticker. Don't scan the sticker and the master page of the bill of lading at the same time. You want to scan them separately so that you're not covering any vital information.
Yeah. Gate stamps and stickers, yep. Scan those in separately.
Yes.
Don't put them on anywhere unless there's a blank spot.
Yeah, if there was a blank spot, it would be okay. But those bills usually, you know, you might not understand what all of the numbers and codes and stuff mean, but it's important to someone. So unless it truly is blank, I wouldn't stick it on there. You stick it on the back of the page. That would be fine.
If it's blank.
If it's blank, it's scanned.
If there's data on the back for whatever reason, you scan that.
Right.
Send it in.
Yep. Send it in.
Scan all the data and send all the data in.
Exactly.
Anything
else?
May
feel like overflow, but, you know, we would rather have too much information than be missing what we need.
Anything else that we need to talk about this whole proof of delivery thing?
No, I think that's probably the extent of it.
You want to ask her the question?
Our survey question, the new one? So if you could take a cross-country road trip with any historical figure, who would it be and where would you go?
Oh, boy.
It's a loaded question.
That's a neat question.
That is a neat question. Well, once upon a time, I was going to be a marine biologist. We can see how well that worked out for me. So I think I might actually choose Jacques Cousteau.
Well, that would be an interesting conversation.
Yes, and we'd end up obviously on a coast somewhere. Large mammals was my thing, so whales, dolphins, sharks.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Do you still do anything, like, hobby-wise with that kind of stuff?
No.
Like whale watching, dolphin, anything?
And, you know, if I see stuff on National Geographic or Discovery Channel that has to do with any of that, yeah, I'm still fascinated. I haven't been any place warm and tropical even to go snorkeling in over 20 years. So.
Oh boy. I think you're overdue.
I'm overdue.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Keeping It Rail. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. Y'all be safe out there.
Thanks for being here, Amanda.
Yep, no problem.
All right, that's it. Yeah.
That's a good question.